You walk out, a street tough approaches you out there, okay? You look in both ways, hoping Jesus runs down the block in his sandals and his toga? Or are you hoping that the Cape Crusader in a bat suit comes down with a batarang and does some damage?
You're saying to fight force with force, right?
Yes.
Right. Jesus would just be peaceful.
And that's real power.
But who's more powerful?
Jesus, for sure.
Yeah!
Let's be honest, I never had a chance, did I?
Sal loses yet again.
What a bunch of holy s***.
Yeah! All right, here we go. The official Impractical Jokers podcast. I'm Casey Jost.
I'm James McCarthy.
I am Tina Santamaro.
And we have two incredible guests, but before we jump into that, let me just remind you guys that you could go to HBO Max and watch all the old episodes, and that's what we're going to be doing, breaking down some old episodes. And the one we're breaking down today features a special guest. And James, do you want to maybe do the introduction?
Ladies and gentlemen, Joey Fatone.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's right.
A very warm welcome for people that I've missed. I wish I've seen you more. We are all quarantined. It kind of sucks, but it is what it is. But very happy to be here with you guys to relive my pants.
Okay. That beautiful way to open. And speaking of open, we actually have a friend of ours, an opener for The After Party, the show that you host, and a person who's worked on Jokers for a really long time, hysterical comedian, good friend of ours. Terry Thomas is here,
hey.
Baby.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, all right. Buddy.
Hey, Casey, I'm going to cash app you that $50 to stand on my screen.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. To have both of you here is wonderful because, I mean, you guys know each other up from After Party. And this episode, we're going back in time and we want to thank the people who've been rocking with this show for so long.
Yeah, and I think I was about to say what's really cool about the whole thing is how it evolved to such a relationship with myself and the guys and you guys as well. It kind of just organically evolved and how the conversation happens. Because sometimes, you know, when you're pitching a show or you're doing ideas, sometimes those take months to get greenlit, or some people just, depending on the production, they're not feeling it or whatever. And this kind of went fairly quickly as far as getting the After Party and how it literally stemmed from this episode. Doing the episode at Carnegie Deli and how it went down for me was crazy because I met Sal and Q on a podcast. I met them through Twitter is how I actually first met them, talking to them.
Yep.
And, you know, what happened was is we had a nice rapport. Sal said, hey, come on out. I brought my oldest daughter to come out there to check out them at the Carnegie Deli. Sal made a joke going, maybe he'll put you in. I was like, real funny. Not thinking they were serious. And lo and behold, he comes up to you, goes, you want to sub in for me? I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's do it. Let's have fun.
So we just watched this episode. From the moment you step on camera with them, you feel it. Like you just fit in so well. We've had a lot of guests on the show, especially after you. You're kind of the gatekeeper. You opened up the gates, I think.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're like kind of the first celebrity cameo. I mean, maybe I actually was Rosie before you, but either way.
I think Rosie might have been before, but she only helped a little bit. She wasn't one of the, on the floor.
And she didn't do a bit. They threw Joey in with no training wheels. Like I'm watching this and I'm like he's doing, I don't mean to be pejorative, but he's doing real turns. Like he's like, you're putting your hand in that guy's food, which I could not believe that you did.
I want to hear about that because anyone doing that for the first time, that has to be insane. You have them in ear and then you're doing these terrible things to people.
Well, the funny thing was, is Casey just, when Casey was talking about it, just even as the first feels of going out, you saying it, I'm not kidding you, I had like a hot flash for a second.
Yeah.
Because that's the feeling I had to legit go. You go, okay, I've watched this on TV. I know these guys. We've actually started talking. I'm standing here and they're going to start yelling in my ear. And I basically have to do whatever they say.
Yep.
And I got so nervous when it first happened. And I remember, because especially when you're shooting shows like that, of course, there's a few bits that they do that they keep doing. And keep trying to make me get into a weird position. For instance, when I had the plate of food, the ladies, Joe goes, all right, take the lady's plate. And I go, okay, I grabbed it. I said, hey, you guys want anything else? Like, can we get more bread? I go, yeah, cool. I grabbed her plate and I walked away. The one woman looked and said, wait, she's not done yet. And I walked away and hit behind the wall. I go, now what? And what they didn't show, all the other stuff, I went back like four or five times, passing the people with the tray, the food of her food that she just was just eating, in my hand, back and forth four times. They were getting so pissed. And I was like, I can't do this. I'm going to get trouble or someone's going to beat me up. And then the palming, where it went all, I thought I was going to get stabbed. Legit.
I've always said that like you fit in so well with them because like you're, you know, a Brooklyn guy and like they're Staten Island guys, you know, you're around the same age and stuff. Like it, there's something about it that when you went out on the floor, it really just felt, but the insane thing about that is like, honestly, I still say this, like you're Joey Fatone. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, it's so cool that it was, that it worked so well. It like shouldn't on paper, but it does.
It should not. Well, I think it's honestly from our backgrounds.
Yeah,
they're all those guys are from Staten Island. I'm from Brooklyn. We have the same very Italian families in a sense. I had family that went to college with Sal in Staten Island. So like I knew all the places. I know Tottenville. You go to Arthur Kill Road. You know, you go all these places that you know. So it's kind of funny, and it's interesting to have those conversations or the same like slang term when we sat there at one of the after parties and we started talking about calamari. How do you say it? It's not calamari. Yeah, yeah. It's calamari.
Yep.
Me and Terry were talking earlier before you guys were even on, and he mentioned something which was pretty funny, or we could both even do that, Terry, where you have us, because I always said, you know, we've done episodes, but I've never done a full episode. And obviously sometimes the editing, when they do a bit, might be coming later on, or one segment is somewhere else. So it's hard to really seamlessly make a connection. If I was to do it, it's almost like probably a couple of weeks before you actually get a whole episode locked in. So I say what would be funny is you do Tag Fatone or Tag Terry. And what happens is at any time the guys want to get that strikeout, they bring us in to see if we're going to be able to say it or not, even though it's embarrassing and they won't even say it. Oh. How do we put up with it?
That's fun.
That'd be great. But, like flip a thumbs down to a thumbs up.
Yeah. It's like call a friend on a millionaire. You know?
Phone a friend. Yeah. Phone a Fatone. Phone a Fatone.
Text to Terry.
Text Terry. Phone a Fatone.
Text two to Terry.
I think it was a bad idea. I think we should have done it now because we told Casey and we told McCarthy. So now I think they're going to make it even worse for us. Like, okay, if Terry if Terry and Fatone do take the challenge.
I just want credit. I'll tell the guys we came up with it.
Don't worry. You could just take your own show at this point. I think the two of you can go out.
It's possible. Definitely.
Bring the show on the road.
Yeah.
So, all right. So Carnegie Deli, that's the first bit of the episode, right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
But again, like I said, there's a few things that there were certain things that didn't even show. There was one where there was two guys eating a cheesecake. And they were sharing it together, and I had to go over and take a napkin and go over to the guy's teeth and say, hey, you got something. You missed a spot, and get a piece of the cheesecake out of his teeth.
Oh, my God.
That was one.
Wow.
The palming, I did, and I remember that they yelled in my ear, don't go back there, because the guy legitimately said, if that guy comes back here, I'm going to stab him with my fork. That's what he said. He's out of nowhere in my ear. I hear, don't go back there. Don't go back there. I'm like, why? He goes, the guy thought it was funny that you palmed this pastrami, but he doesn't think it's going to be funny if you mess with his cheesecake. Don't mess with his cheesecake. I'm like, I'm good.
Don't mess with the man's cheesecake. That's what it was like.
Wow. Who knew that Carnegie Deli would like be so robust for things? Like you got myrrh writing on that woman's head. You got the switching the plates.
Yeah.
Like it's just an environment that like, it's so chaotic. You could almost get away with stuff, but it's still, you know, like when Sal's like crying almost about
everybody always goes, oh, put me on the show. I can do it.
Right.
And you go, yeah, you can do it, but you can do the joke when somebody talks in your ear, but then how do you follow up?
Yep.
That's the technique that the guys have it down to a science. Joe, I think, is by far probably one of the best ones to be convincing. So convincing. It's amazing to me. And he is able to flip it on a dot. It's just amazing. And then again, when we were doing the Carnegie Deli.
But then
the funny part about it is Carnegie Deli, you know, Joe comes up with this childish idea to have me say, hey, I want you all to know my name is Joey Fatone. My pants. Yeah.
Hey, everybody, can I have your attention, please? My name is Joey Fatone. And I just shit my pants.
Set the whole tone at the end of the show.
Can I ask you about that? Because in the episode, edited for time, we don't really see what happens right after that. And I'm curious if there were people in the restaurant that, you know, maybe didn't recognize you, but know the name Joey Fatone, and did anything happen after that?
Well, when I stood there and I hear Joe in my ear, okay, say this. And I sat there and I looked at it going, okay, now some people got to know it's probably, some people may know it's me or maybe, you know, give a look, but think about it. They're on vacation. They don't know what's going on. They're busy or eating or whatever, or just doing the busy New York thing that people do. So they don't see a celebrity. But the minute I stop everyone from eating and I said the whole thing, I honestly was like, after this one, I can't do no more. And I didn't know if they were going to do more or not, but I went, I shit my pants. I'm done. And I legit walked completely out of the store.
And you hid,
and back
yeah.
upstairs to the room.
That's right.
And I was like, dude, I can't say anything else. And people applauded. Yes. Some people were like, ew, really? What the hell? Get out of here. So it was a mixture of, oh, I know the guy. I can't believe that's Joey and he shit his pants. And also, what the hell is this guy doing?
And then like, not to mention also, your daughter was there that day when you were filming. So she's watching along, watching her dad yell to a bunch of people.
She must have loved that. Was she dying?
She thought it was the greatest thing.
It was
How
the greatest
old
thing
was
ever
she
life.
At the time?
She was, I think, about 14.
Oh, that's 14, perfect.
15.
That's
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah, she, yeah. it was so funny because we watched the show all the time when it first came out. It's like the very first season. Uh-huh. We thought it was hilarious. We loved it. And then... Yeah.
I like to imagine that was the thing that made Daddy famous, not the years and years of playing stadiums.
In her mind, yeah. yes.
That's cool.
Her friends, she used to be like, oh, this is so annoying. I'm like, why? Because all my friends think you're cool. And I'm like, why? Because you're Impractical Jokers. They don't even know.
Oh,
some
wow.
people didn't even know what NSYNC was. You know,
I don't know.
They
will.
Listen to pop music.
They will. Like, even if kids now are listening to, like, you know, Grande and like, which, you know, Bieber, yeah. which is great. You're going to go back to the classics. And that's
you
the thing.
You go back to the roots.
You know, me, you and Sal always have this conversation about how NSYNC is like, it's like soul. It's like, it's real pop. It's real pop
yeah.
soul. It's not just like, you know, not to throw a shade at Backstreet, but Backstreet's like, it's got a lot of like adult
contemporary.
Yeah, that's what you always say. Fun. I'm stealing your line. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Yo, Joey, yep. Joey, I always want to tell you this. I voted for you on 106 in Park when y'all had the song Gone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, when it made it on BET, I was like, this song should have been on BET.
I was
BET.
Like, when we were on BET, I was like, what are we doing on BET? I was like, this is, I mean, it was great because it's such a crossover and the music with Gone. It was really Gone and Girlfriend were the two that kind of crossed over to some sort of acceptance of R&B and hip hop kind of thing. And that realm, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was weird because it's one of those things where at first it's always, oh, look at these little white boys trying to dance and try to do this and try to do that. But it was like, this is the way we are. This is what we did. And I remember, this is really funny though, because it was like one of the moments we went to a party. It was Jermaine Dupri's party in Tampa. And my security guard was African American. And the whole party, I was the only pretty much the white person. And I go, man, these people are just going to give me these looks. I don't know what it is. It just felt like I didn't fit in. It was weird. I walked in and somebody's like, yo, that's the dude from NSYNC. And then I went, oh my God, they know that. And then the one guy's like, dude, that's Joey Fatone from NSYNC. What's up? And I was like, even my security guard, big, tall dude, black dude was like, I've never seen anything like this before. This is the weirdest thing.
He's probably so proud of you.
The thing with Girlfriend and Gone and we did a Janet Jackson thing
right,
too,
of course.
Which really kind of tipped us over and opened up to more of a different styles of pop music per se.
I think Justin worked.
Thank you, Ravone. I appreciate it on BET 106.
I think, and Joey, Justin worked with Janet once, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a little nip slip. It was a hard out when he left.
Dude, that's so cool. I mean, those two songs that you mentioned, were they written by like were they co-written by the same person too?
Justin did Gone, and I believe I don't remember if it was Pharrell that did Girlfriend. I got to think about that. I think it might have been Pharrell. I'm not really 100% sure on that, but know Justin. Justin wrote Gone with someone, but he really initiated, wrote it. The whole story about Gone. If you want to see a little backstory, it's kind of funny. He was sitting from waiting for Britney at a hair salon. And he was sitting there just thinking about how like she's gone and this and that. And that's how the story of the song came along.
Wow.
Who
cool.
knew? Randomly weird, but who knew?
That's great. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Imagine she really left him.
She was shaving her head at that time, I believe.
She was. She
that's
was.
Why, that's why he was taking so long.
See those dances?
Yes, I have.
She's been doing it for, what is that? What's going on?
Hey,
what's
I love it.
People?
I love it. Hey, I mean, everyone's losing their mind right now, so why not?
I'm about to say it's quarantine. People are losing their minds.
I'm happy. I love it.
We're all Joey Fatone. We all shit our pants this quarantine, I feel.
Correct.
At least once. If you haven't.
You know, I can come out and be honest. You know, sometimes as you get older, you just should never trust the fart.
No, you can't.
It happens.
Oh, my God.
Well said. Good advice. Good advice.
Rule of advice. Yeah. Never trust the fart, people.
What's the? We can't even stay on topic. What's the next challenge?
Oh man!
Oh my God!
We jump over to sudden death debate after this.
Ah, this is solid. This is the first time.
Great question.
Feels like maybe. No. The first time's in the mall. I think this is. We've done this a few times. I think by now, but this one is great. So we have Batman versus Jesus, and
I mean, kicked by a giraffe or stuck under a giant piece of celery. That, for me, like, if I'm ranking memorable moments of the show, like, kicked by a giraffe and giant piece of celery
punch.
Is three. And then, like, it's a tie between My Name is Joey Fatone, My Pants, and Sal's Wedding Speech are, like, those are, like, the most memorable moments.
Sal's Wedding Speech is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think we always kind of remember the episodes by the punishment. But it's like, those are the moments. Like,
isn't that the one where he reads about breaking the hymen?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That's like the best part.
The hymen. I forgot.
But tonight, I don't mean to break the hymen.
Next page.
Tradition.
I mean, first he just says that his friend's name is Hyman, which you can almost buy, but it's weird.
That gets a reaction
and
from the
then,
crowd.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he breaks the hymen.
He turns the page. Yeah.
We made sure. I made sure to have it written exactly like that. Like, have that next part on the next page.
Oh, perfect.
Tradition.
Like, we wrote it with that intended, and it.
How long did it take to write the speech?
I mean, we worked on it for, I would say, like,
felt like nothing. I mean, that's the most fun
day,
stuff.
Yeah,
it's like just like coming up with lines. Like,
but isn't it funny when you do throwaways like that? We call them throwaways, but, you know, you throw the little bits, and those are the ones that really strike the chord.
I know.
Or if you overanalyze too much, it doesn't become funny anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I was just talking about that with my wife Lisa, like, because we were watching it and dying laughing, and we were really happy that a lot of it still, like, holds up. There are some moments in there, and the reactions are really. I couldn't believe that it worked as well as it did, because it toes the line so well of, like, because he comes out like almost like it makes sense, and it's like, oh, he must just be funny, but then he crosses that line quickly and people are like, oh, wait a second, he has them raise their glass, but then it's way too early, like, he does everything wrong. It's like,
love it.
There's a rhythm to the way it worked, and it, you know, you need Sal for that. That's the other thing. It works perfect for Sal.
There was a woman that just popped up out of nowhere, and she was like, do you want me to get rid of this guy?
And then he just liked the ending with, you're beautiful inside and out.
I should know.
Yeah.
So what happened after that? Like, it just cuts off. Like, I want to know the tension. I want to know, like, how upset were the in-laws.
Yeah, so I believe that Crystal and Gary got up. James, were you there?
I was not there, no.
Yeah. So I believe that Crystal and Gary got up and made an announcement, and Sal came back out, and, you know, like, they kind of talked everyone down, and they explained that it was like Joe's for a TV show, and everyone was fine with it. But yeah, it definitely needed that. There were definitely people who were like, their jaw was still dropped for the rest of the night.
It's amazing.
Especially the mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the line he said about the mother-in-law?
She the devil like is your mother-in-law? Else, yeah. It's like part of, like, a generic wedding speech where it's like, you're this, like, God is the mixer or something. And then, like, the mother-in-law is the devil.
There's nothing generic about, man is like the liquor, woman is the mixer, God is the bartender and stirs it all up, and the devil is your mother-in-law.
Right.
It's an old Irish blessing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's old. Writing those lines is fun. Just real quick, just to jump back to the last challenge, just because we're talking about, like, the reactions of people. Yeah. Was it Darius or Darren? What was the guy who are
Darius?
Darius. Because you got Mur versus Sal, you know, and the virginity thing. And Sal comes up with such a good one, and Mur comes up with such a bad one, and immediately Darius calls him out. He's like, all this postulating, like, yeah, I'm definitely, I can tell you right now, it's not going to work. Sal's like, I love this guy. It was that to me was like, oh, I'm so glad human beings like him exist. Mark of the episode.
I mean, the line, just dropping that line, it's like, you didn't have the vagina?
My friend, you didn't have the vagina.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's
like, that's incredible.
So many great t-shirt ideas that we've heard so far.
So many.
That's all I wanted to say about that, because that, like, that whole challenge is great. And Joe Gatto pulls it off again. Like, he's won so many sudden death debates. Like, that's probably the challenge he cares about more than any other.
Right.
You know, like, maybe the second place would
it's
be like
him convincing
don't
somebody. That's what he loves that.
Loves that.
He convince
loves,
and get them on his
side. He's a salesman. Yeah. That's like his thing. It's like, get someone on board.
If he could mentally dominate a human being, he's had a good day.
Yeah.
Great.
We had this conversation a few times, but now obviously more and more. We actually had a conversation on the cruise that Joe, when he used to be a salesperson at, like, at a
Nordstrom's.
Baby stroller, a baby
store.
Oh,
no, Giggle, Giggle, yeah.
Giggle. And he was able to convince people, oh, yeah, the stroller's really good, blah, blah, blah. And then how he was working when someone said, hey, can you watch the store for me? And he sold like a bunch of stuff at one of the stores or something.
I know what you're talking about.
He was telling me he went and helped convince somebody. That he
no, that was at Nordstrom. That was at Nordstrom. Because I remember, I was there. We were all hanging out and he just went into these Nordstrom stories. Yeah, James is there on the cruise. We're hanging out in Q's room. And that was like, that's a kind of the party room on the boat.
Yep.
And so we're all just talking. He's telling all these insane stories. And he said that at Nordstrom, he'd have like one section. But then he started to go to other people's sections or just other sections of the store and sell it. And then he became the manager of all the sections and would like, you know, and bring people down. And this guy was just like, if you're buying the suit, you're going to need a watch that goes with it. And he brings it down to the watch. And he's giving other people are getting commissions as he's getting double commissions.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he convinced everybody that he goes, I need to be a personal shopper now. You got to hire me as a personal, which I don't think they even had one.
Yeah,
he made his own position.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Genius. Like that's the thing. Yeah. Like if he didn't become an Impractical Joker, he'd be like the head of like a department store now, like a whole chain.
He'd be like an inventor or something.
He'd be running the Illuminati or something. Jokers have slowing him down. If it wasn't for us, like, yeah, he'd be in control somewhere.
Yeah, he'd definitely be running the Illuminati for sure.
Definitely.
I love it. You come up all the time, and like when we're producing stuff, if there's something we're just like, yeah, we'll get somebody to sing on it. We'll get Fatone. It's always like, oh, we'll just get Fatone. Like every idea is like, it's just like you're like in our tool belt now. It's so funny.
You know that anytime. I don't know what kind of tool I am in the belt, but I'm there for you.
I just called you a tool. Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing this. You got to go.
My pleasure. Seriously.
Tell us a little bit about the podcast, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have it's called What Does Joey Know? It's basically the stuff that we've been doing right now. It's been on StreamYard. So it goes on YouTube Live and on Facebook. And my buddy Jason Logan's really the main host. I'm kind of like a co-host per se.
Yeah.
And then even my manager, Joe Moville, comes in. And what we do is it's kind of interviews / with music. So we'll play kind of music and they'll guess stuff. And then we'll also just have conversation. So it's been great. I mean, we've had so many random people. It's like the first time for me, like when I do podcasts or anybody does podcasts, especially what you do first is you call all your friends and you call them, hey, you know, come and do it. And it's great because, you know, you go back and forth. And even when I did, you know, Two Cups of Joe, what Mobile, I did it with Joe, I did it with Gatto, I did it with Murr, did all this stuff. But now we're doing it with people to where it's just, I've never even spoke to these people before. And I think it's even more exciting because now I'm very inquisitive and people are like, oh, you don't know what he does. I mean, I interviewed a guy the other day that was in a K-pop band.
Oh,
cool.
This kid, Kevin Wu is his name.
Cool.
The sweetest dude. I never talked to the guy. I never had anything to care less about K-pop or any of that kind of stuff. That was not my genre.
You don't want to say that.
Stuff going on now.
Oh,
you'll get doxed.
It's crazy. So it's really, you know, it's one of those things. So this show has just been great. It's obviously an outlet because everything that's been going on with quarantine, still waiting to do Common Knowledge, still waiting to do After Party, still waiting to do a lot of things, but we're all here.
We're waiting for After Party.
That's great. Yeah. Make sure to listen to it. I also love that. Like whenever you guys talk about stuff, like stuff about the industry always comes up and you guys are so knowledgeable that like, it's always so fascinating to get like that behind the scenes look of like,
well, we try to answer the questions that people don't really normally ask. I mean, even stupid things. If people poop on a tour bus, no, you don't. That's the rule. Rule number one, you don't poop on a tour bus. Pee in it, but no poo-poos.
That's a good rule.
Genius. No.
I didn't know that.
That's the kind of industry stuff I was talking about.
That's exactly what you were talking about. That's the industry people want to know. You know?
We love you, buddy. I mean, you know, thank you for the shard advice.
Yeah.
No problem. Yeah. If you guys want to check out, you know, What Does Joey Know? It's on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, 11 in that California area. And then that's about it, man. It's been having fun.
All right. Love you, my man.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Talk to you soon.
Terry, have a good one. Awesome, Casey, have a good one. Tina, have a good one. Phoebe, have a great time.
Oh, thank you so much, Joey.
Later, guys. Have a good one.
Bye, okay. Joey. Bye, buddy.
All right. So Joey's gone, but we still got Terry, and you're not going anywhere because we've got some exciting news that we want to tell you.
Oh, man. Okay.
You can act now.
Terry, you're about to be a pioneer right now because we just got the Impractical Jokers game, and you're going to be the first one to play it.
The game? Yep.
That's right.
It's a game. It's a board game. It's a board game that's coming out. You're going to be able to buy it. This is a real game.
It's called the Impractical Jokers Challenge Game. And it's actually out right now at Target and Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for ages 17 and up. But I'm going to give this exact game that I'm holding to my nephews who are like 12 and 9. So at your discretion.
Yeah, there are some real lines from the show in this. So the game is filled with challenge cards, punishment cards, and action cards.
So you're basically like a joker, right?
Yeah, and the cards are basically like when the guys tell you things to do, it's sort of that stuff written on there. And I've noticed a few of them direct from the show, kind of like, and I think we talked about this on a past podcast, but it says, spin around and inquire who caked the bucket, which we just talked about with Mar a couple weeks back.
That's from the Costco episode. I mean, so the whole gameplay is like different. Like there's like a whole first phase, like where you invite, you have like a party basically, but you only tell like a couple people in the party that they're playing the game. So like at the party, you have like these undercover jokers that are then doing tasks at the party to like unbeknownst guests. You don't even tell anybody that they're playing the game. They come over, you tell like, if you have like 15 people, you tell like five of them, like, hey, we're playing this. But you know, for our podcast purposes, they have some punishments, and you're a veteran of the show. You've been on the floor. You've done challenges. So we're just going to punish you right now. We're jumping right to the punishment segment of this game.
Oh, yes.
You are the most lucky.
You know what?
Yeah. Basically, Terry, if you're game for it, here's your punishment. Are you ready? I'll put it up so you can see it and read it as well.
I was born.
So we need you to call a really good friend and try to make them remember a fake person. What we have here on the card. Remember John from that party? He was kind of tall, but not really. He liked house music, but not too loud. Remember him? So that's all your information, Terry. If you want to give anyone in your phone a call, feel free to call them. If someone you think would be game, maybe someone on the crew, if you think they'd be game for it.
Since you are, text Terry if you want to text. If that's...
okay. I'm going to call Ryan Lynch.
All right. Ryan also works on IJ. He works in
let's get
post department.
The post department.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I know Ryan.
One of the nicest guys.
This is great.
Get them to remember a fake person.
Yo, Ryan, what's good, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to you remember that time we went to lunch at that Italian place? It's like a little pizzeria for lunch.
Yeah.
And right next to us, it was this lady who had a wooden leg. Do you remember her? Like she just kept like staring at us. Like I think she was like kind of sitting behind me, but like I remember her wooden leg was like really, really shiny. I think that was like the crazy part about it.
I think it was you, Rich, and I think finally we were at the Pizza Homage.
Pizza Italia. I'm not 100% sure, but you do remember the lady with the wooden leg. I want to make sure I wasn't tripping.
I think so.
What a good friend. What a good friend.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Well, Matt. I'm not 100%. I just remember a wooden leg that was really, really shining. I was like, she must like shellac that thing or get somebody to like buff it, which I thought was really weird. I didn't think you should buff a wooden leg, but
No,
I was just trying to just like remember it, and I would tell somebody about it, and I thought it was weird. But yeah, I didn't want to. I was just trying to remember.
This is crazy.
Is that the funny thing that you brought up? I'm with my girlfriend this year on death. Me and her watched porn the other day, and there was a guy on there trying to sell a wooden leg. And he said the Largo Pirate. And the guy was a singer in like a kind of like a rock hound.
Okay, Terry, now just say, okay, I just sharted and hang up.
Hey, I just sharted. I just sharted, man. I got to call you back.
All right.
Oh my God.
That easy, folks.
I can't believe you did that. You got him to play along.
That was amazing.
Post.
Nice job.
Post is amazing.
Nailed it.
Terry, you're the first person to get punished with the Impractical Jokers game. Congratulations. You just survived your punishment.
You did a fantastic job. I would never have hung up the phone by saying, I just sharted. I got to go.
Yeah, that was a little bonus.
That was amazing.
Ryan's a good friend. Ryan's a good friend. We talk about music.
He is a good friend. The fact that he backed you up in that was just like, you know, he trusts you. And then you lied to him. And... You rudely hung up on the phone, so you're better. You're gonna have to smooth over that friendship.
I didn't say it was a two-way friendship. I just said he's a good friend.
Beautiful. Well, this has been so much fun. I just want to thank Joey Fatone, who's not here, but I really want to thank
Terry Thomas, who is here. Woo! Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Casey. Thank you, Tina.
Do you want...
Thank you, Phoebe.
People who are in the know, we're like basically recording this right now. We could see each other, but James's computer is saved as Phoebe Stonebreaker, his wife's
Which
name.
Which is a much cooler name than my name.
Much cooler.
McCarthy. Yeah, very cool.
But Terry, do you have a social media handles or anything you wanna tell us about?
Yes. Follow me at Terry Thomas Comedy on Instagram, or if you want to go and find out about future shows that I'm possibly doing across the country, terryt.com.
Awesome.
Terry T, T-E-E.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Again, the two nicest guests you can get, Terry Thomas and Joey Fatone. Incredible.
It's absolutely nice.
It's awesome.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will check you out next week. See you guys.
Bye.